Well, greetings, everybody. If it's 3 p.m. Central, it's Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear from you. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis, and we're here to serve you, our listeners. If you have a question, something you'd like to talk about, maybe some particular issue in life that's troubling to you, you're struggling with, well, we cordially invite you right now to call 844-322-2742. In the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, friends, and here's Bob Christopher.
We have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742, 844-322-2742. Andrew Farley joins me today on Basic Gospel. Andrew, good to have you with us.
Hey, great to be with you, Bob.
Well, Andrew, this week we've been talking about law and grace, drawing the distinction between law and grace, and we certainly see this distinction being drawn in the Word of God, and theologians throughout church history have noticed this. Martin Luther, when he finally came to faith in Jesus Christ and started reading the Word of God, he started talking about the contrast between law and the gospel. And he was actually referring to this contrast we see in the Word of God between law and the grace of God. And I don't think there's a better passage in all of Scripture that really lays this out for us than 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And Paul really just does a T chart and puts law on one side, grace on the other, and just compares them point for point. And at the end, he comes away with the conclusion that grace is so much more glorious than what was given to us in the law. So let's talk about that a little bit today and why this is important for us as believers in Christ to draw a contrast between law and grace. Many people may think this is controversial. They may get a little tense in hearing this. But it's truth that needs to be told, isn't it?
Yes, it is. You're right that it's going to ruffle some feathers now and then, for sure. Anytime you're talking about the Ten Commandments, I mean, those are the big ten. And living in the Bible Belt, you're making sure those are on courthouse walls, on churches, pictures of them with Moses holding them, coming down the mountain, getting them to be front and center. We think of them as our source, in many cases, our source of morality and ethics. And what are you going to do without those Ten Commandments as a Christian? You got to have them. You need them. They are our focus. They are the backbone of Christianity. This is what so many people believe. And yet, when we come to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Bob, as you said, we see a very different story told. First of all, in verse 6, Paul says that we have been made competent, or we've been qualified as ministers of a new covenant. And then he goes on, he very clearly says, not of the law, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, or the law kills, but the Spirit gives life. So you're qualified as a minister. I'm qualified. Everybody out there who's in Christ, Jesus has qualified us as ministers, but of only one thing, one covenant, one ministry, one focus, and that is the new covenant, which has a focus on the cross and the resurrection and all that Jesus has done for us. So we're not qualified to minister the Ten Commandments to people on Sunday morning saying, you'd better try your hardest obeying this, and you better not do that, and you better not do this, and try to be as obedient as I am. When I look at Moses and try my hardest, you imitate me. I mean, that's not what we're qualified to minister. We're qualified to minister the new covenant. And so you're right. Here's this T-chart. I mean, on the left, we've got the ministry that brought death. That's the Ten Commandments. How do we know it's the Ten? It says it was engraved on stone. So the ministry on stone, that is the Ten Commandments, is a ministry of death, a ministry of condemnation. And then he goes on exactly as you said, Bob. He says the new ministry, the ministry of the Spirit, is more glorious. It has greater glory. It brings righteousness. It surpasses the old covenant. So why in the world would we want to push a covenant that is inferior when we have a covenant that is superior? So, yeah, the law has a place, but only for the unbeliever. The law points out death. The law points out sin for the unbeliever. That is our schoolmaster, our tutor, to lead us to Christ. But the Bible's clear, and Paul himself is clear, that after we come to Jesus, we are dead to the law, not under the law. Christ is the end of the law for all those who believe.
So let me just push this a little bit further, Andrew, and I want our listeners to really pay attention to what we're saying here, and it's this. So does the law have a place in the life of a believer today? Are we to think about the law? Are we to grade ourselves every day on how well we're doing in light of what the law tells us to do? Does the law have a place in our lives?
No, not as a believer. Now, let's explain that, because as you mentioned earlier, people get tense when they hear this. But think about it now. Here's what the average Christian may believe. They may believe that God is going to help them keep the law. Well, which part of the law? Oh, well, I'm going to pick my favorite parts. You mean you're not going to try all 613? No, I'll just try 10. Oh, so you're going to keep the Sabbath on Saturday night? No lawn mowing, no Friday night emails, no yard work on Saturday. I'm not going to keep the Sabbath. I'm just going to keep the 9 commandments. Yeah, that's what it is. And then I'm going to throw in tithing, and look, Ma, it's a new set of 10. And so we start cherry picking from God's law, and we say the Holy Spirit's going to help us keep the law. Well, hang on now. Out of one side of my mouth, I'm saying I'm dead to the law. Then I'm saying the Holy Spirit's going to help me keep it. Then I'm saying Christ is the end of the law for me. And then I'm saying the Holy Spirit's going to help me keep it. And then I'm reading in Galatians and Romans that I'm not under the law. But then I'm saying, well, yeah, but he's written it on my heart and he's going to help me keep it. So we don't even realize we're engaging in this sort of double talk. And then you bring up that great point, Bob, about, you know, is the law our goal? I mean, is it our benchmark? Is it our goal? Is that where God has us headed? No, the goal is knowing Jesus Christ, and the goal is bearing the fruit of the Spirit. And that's why he says, after naming what Jesus is like, I mean, love and patience and kindness and self-control, he says, against such things there is no law. In other words, what are you worried about? If you're exuding the character of Christ, then you don't need to be fixated on Moses. Jesus is enough.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is indeed. And one of the things that you were saying there, Andrew, that really perked my ears up, that so many believers out there think the Ten Commandments is the heart and soul of the Christian story. And, it's like, wait a minute. The good news is the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is the heart and soul of Christianity, what Jesus has accomplished for us. And that projects into our Christian lives when we come to the point and realize it's not us trying to live up to the law. It's what Jesus is going to be doing in and through us by his Spirit. That is the heart and soul of Christianity. And when people get that right, when people really see that and understand the true story, everything starts to fall into place. All the confusion just kind of disappears, and things start to line up as to what this Christian life is all about. And as you said, what the real goal of the Christian life is all about, and that is getting to know Jesus Christ and the love and grace of God. Yes. That's been given to us in him. Well, this is... Andrew, did you have something more you wanted to add to that?
I do.
We could just go back and forth on this forever, couldn't we?
Yes, this is a topic of all topics. I mean, I wanted to say that the problem is worse than we've described. Not only is it that we're dead to the law and we're under grace, but so many Christians are not just unaware of that, but being under the law actually excites sin. And I think that's what people miss. I mean, Hebrews 8 says the old covenant is obsolete, so it's not a continuation. The new is not a continuation of the old. There's an old that's obsolete. And then you go over to Romans 7, and you know that Romans 7 struggle. So many Christians, we know that part of the Bible. I'm doing the very thing I don't want to do. Well, hey, do you realize why that's happening? Here's why that's happening. That's happening because he's trying his hardest under the law to stop coveting. Now, remember, thou shalt not covet is one of the Ten Commandments, which, by the way, is our topic this afternoon. He's trying his best with thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not covet. He wakes up every day. He's trying to avoid coveting. What happens? Coveting of every kind. And then what does he say the solution is? Well, it's crazy. It's counterintuitive. It takes you by surprise. But here's the solution. Apart from the law, sin is dead. Now, in context, Bob, he's not talking about the sacrificial system. He's not saying live apart from the sacrifices. Of course, that's a no-brainer. He's not talking about wardrobe restrictions. He's not talking about purification rituals. No, in context, he's talking about thou shalt not covet, which is the Ten Commandments. And he's saying, get this, he's saying, apart from the Ten Commandments, sin is dead. Now, that is a huge thing that the church needs to know. I'm supposed to wake up every day, put no confidence in Moses, all confidence in Jesus, no confidence in tablets of stone. Instead, full confidence in the new heart he's given me and his presence, the resurrected Christ living in me. That is enough.
That is enough, and that's why this gospel, this death, this burial, this resurrection of Jesus Christ is such good news, because it liberates us from human effort. It liberates us from trying to live up to the righteous requirements of law, of the law, and frees us to enjoy the love and grace of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We would love to hear from you on today's edition. 844-322-2742 is the number. Call right now. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is with me today, and we want to hear from you. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Andrew, I think you know this month we're celebrating the five-year anniversary of the release of Simple Gospel, Simply
Yes.
Grace, and we are encouraging Basic Gospel Nation to buy copies of this book and spread the word. Think about people that you want to share the goodness of God's grace with, and buy a copy with that person in mind. And when you receive it, give that copy to them and see how God uses this resource in their lives. Many times, Andrew, and you've seen this with your own books, you know, people have a hard time communicating the grace of God. They want to share with somebody. They
Yes.
want to reach out and sit down with somebody and speak to them about the good news of Jesus Christ. But sometimes they're afraid to do that. Sometimes they don't articulate it the way they would like to. And so they just say, I can't do that.
Yeah.
Well, that is such a bad excuse. Yes, you can, and oftentimes it's as simple as putting a book in someone else's hands, isn't it?
Yes, and I would say this. If you're shy about that, look at the calendar. I mean, year-round, there are opportunities to give gifts. How about Veterans Day? Well, what if you gave your favorite veteran a copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace? What about Thanksgiving? A little note inscribed in that book that says, thankful for you. Christmas is a no-brainer. Someone's birthday is pretty easy. Easter, a Resurrection Day, thinking of the resurrection and his life in you. That's the note that you write to your friend. I mean, this is so simple and so easy. So I want to encourage you to get five of them, get 10 of them, hang on to them throughout the year. Let the Spirit of God prompt you. My goodness, Bob, it is so easy to take advantage of these beautiful holidays we have and give gifts, and people are blown over that you thought of them. They're blown over that they got a gift from you, and next thing you know, they're learning about the finished work of Christ, and they're grateful to you for that as well.
Yes, indeed. So how do you get a copy? How do you get multiple copies? Just go to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. You'll find all the information there on how to order either a single copy or multiple copies. And we have discounted prices for multiple copies. So just go to SimpleGospelSimplyGrace.com. Dot com and click the amount that you want to order. and then trust the Lord to bring people to mind and pass these books out, and let's trust the Lord and how he's going to use this resource to connect human hearts to the love of Jesus Christ. Well, this is Basic Gospel. I'm Bob Christopher. Andrew Farley is here. We invite you to join us as well by phone at 844-322-2742. If you're watching us on Facebook or YouTube and you have a question that you would like to pose, put those in the comment sections. We'll get to those as well. Again, the number 844-322-2742. Andrew, we had this call that came in overnight, and I think it's a good call and something that a person needs some really practical help. So let's take a listen.
Hello, my name is T. I'm calling from Texas. I have two daughters and I'm divorced. And my question is, how do you continue to be a good dad and continue to be in their lives when your daughters live in a different state and you have an ex-spouse that is bitter? How do you move on by being a great dad and moving past what the mother is saying about you and in front of your children? And how do you move forward in your life past the turmoil that you experienced with your ex-spouse?
Yeah. Well, Andrew, wow. That's really a good question. And there's a lot of people in Pete's shoes, aren't there?
Oh, yes. I mean, with nearly half of believers who are married at some point experiencing divorce, this is something that is at the forefront of so many people's minds. And it's so sad to think about the children when there's a divorce, a division. The children sometimes get indoctrinated. They sort of get poisoned against one spouse or the other. That sounds like what he's describing here, at least from his perspective. He feels rejected and misunderstood. He feels maligned and, shoved to the wayside and cast in a negative light. And so you say, well, what can he do? Because really, I mean, remember that even Jesus in Matthew 10, verse 14, he talked about shaking the dust off of your feet. You can't control somebody else's impression of you. Even Paul says, be at peace with others, but as far as it concerns you. So let's be straight up here and first of all say we cannot control what a spouse or an ex-spouse might think of us. And sometimes we have to live with that animosity and choose to forgive them and yet expect that, my goodness, every time I go pick up the kids or every time I visit or every time I call, there may be, on the other end of that line, there may be some criticism or negative attitude or a roll of the eyes. I mean, that sort of human behavior, it's all over the place. And so we can't control what someone else is going to do, but we can, as Ephesians 4:32 says, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other, just as in Christ God forgave you. We can make that choice, Bob, to go ahead and express the kindness and the compassion of Jesus, and to, in this case, with the ex-wife, say, you know what, I forgive her and I release her and I cancel that debt. She owes me so much respect. She owes me common decency. She owes me a good impression for the children. She owes me casting me in a positive light or showing at least my positive side or whatever. She owes me all this, but she's not doing it. And so she's accrued this debt with me, and I'm holding it against her, and it's just too much for me to bear. And so, Lord Jesus Christ, I'm asking you right now to give me the wisdom. I'm going to forgive her. I'm going to release her. I'm going to cancel this debt. And then, Bob, I guess the last thing I want to say on this, it's really inspired by Isaiah 53. It says that Jesus was oppressed and afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. He was silent before his accusers. And I'm not saying that we need to be a doormat, but how many times does the Spirit of God lead us to a place of just being quiet and not inciting something, not blowing something up, but instead just, again, getting to that place of humility and forgiveness and having a soft answer, as Proverbs talks about, a soft answer to those who are seeking to destroy us or seeking to incite some feud with us. So somewhere in there, Bob, between releasing other people, forgiving them, giving up my right to control their impression of me, and just trusting Jesus with my responses, I think that's where he has to live. He wants to see his children. He doesn't want to give up on that. He wants to continue to have a relationship. So forgiveness and gentleness and kindness and trusting the Spirit in him, that's where it's at.
Absolutely. And I'll just add two words. Both start with P, provision and presence. And as far as a father is concerned, Pete, you live in another state, so it's difficult for you to be there with them on a day-to-day basis. But you know that those kids have needs, and you know the mom has to have finances to help raise those kids, to buy food and to buy clothes, and maybe there's child care services that are necessary. You take the initiative, and you go above and beyond what you need to do or even what the law may require you to do to help provide for them. That will go a long way in settling bitterness in her heart towards you. Why? Because you're actually helping her meet a very practical need with those kids, and that is from a financial standpoint. And then, Pete, whenever you can, be present with your kids. And when they see you, when they connect with you, when they see your love for them, that will go a long way as far as they're concerned. They're gonna love you because you're the dad. So you be present with them as much as you possibly can. You have the right to be in their lives, and so take advantage of that. So provision and presence, I think those two things, along with what Andrew was saying as far as releasing her, forgiving her, I think those are going to go a long way in helping you in this particular circumstance.
Yeah.
Well, Andrew, thanks for that great answer. Let's go to this last question from Steve.
Hi, my name is Steve. I live in Oklahoma State, and, you know, this is supposed to be the Bible Belt, but I haven't heard too much from my preachers in my neighborhoods about we're supposed to be the last generation for the rapture happens. My question is, how long is a generation supposed to last before one dies? Because I'm 57 years old, and I'm wondering, do I have the time to live my life the way God wants me to through this time until the rapture happens? How soon is soon? There's a lot of questions there. Thank you.
Yeah. You've got about a minute, Andrew.
All right. Yeah, 1 Thessalonians 5 says, the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And Matthew 24:36 says, nobody knows the day or the hour, even the epoch. Nobody knows, only the Father. So what I would say is this. Let's not concern ourselves about timelines or numbers or figures in our head as far as how much time we have left. Of course, we grow with a growth that comes from God. That's what Colossians 2 tells us. So we can be on the 80-year plan. We can be on the eternal plan. We can trust Jesus Christ that he's going to grow us up in his timing. Every day, every hour, our life has purpose because Jesus, expressing him and knowing him, that is our purpose now and forever.
Well, thanks, Andrew, and thank you, Steve, for that question, and thank you for tuning in today to Basic Gospel. We appreciate so much that you allow us to be a part of your daily journey and to allow us to help you grow in the grace of God and in your knowledge of Jesus Christ. I invite you to go to Simple Gospel, simplygrace.com, and help spread the word of the grace of God to as many people by ordering your copy of Simple Gospel, Simply Grace. Again, the website, simplegospelsimplygrace.com. For more resources from our ministry, go to basicgospel.net. You will find all kinds of resources that are free to you that will help you grow in the love and grace of Jesus Christ. And now, for Andrew and for the entire Basic Gospel team, I'm Bob Christopher saying so long from Lewisville, Texas. We'll see you tomorrow.